Blog Talk Radio.
You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see. Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio on this historical January 20th, 2009. I'm so pleased you could be with me tonight. Want to just give you a couple calendar updates. If you did not receive my emails, on Thursday, January 22nd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, the Divas of Daytime will be with me. That means Kathy Breyer from One Life to Live, Bobby Eakes from All My Children, and Cassie DePaiva as well from One Life to Live. They'll be on the show 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday, the 26th of January, One Tree Hill actress Barbara Allen Woods will be joining me. And on the 27th, actor Ted McGinley from Hope and Faith, The Love Boat, Married with Children, and anything else you can possibly think of that he's been in will be on the show also at 10 p.m. So make sure you tune in for that. Tonight's guest is an up-and-coming actress, and she's earned a reputation of being compared to such icons in the business as Judy Garland and Lucille Ball. And if that doesn't say it, I don't know how else to. So I want you to welcome actress Tana Frederick to Stardish Radio.
Thanks so much for having me, Joanne.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be in your show on such a momentous evening.
Isn't it just a fabulous day? Did it not just bring goosebumps to everybody today? I mean, I don't care what your political views are. It's just an enormous, enormous day in history.
It is. My eyes are really puffy because I think I just cried for 3 hours straight during the inauguration. I mean, it was so unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. I mean, for all Americans of all colors, and it's just, you know, I mean, my children are part African American, so I can't stress to them enough what a great day this is for them as well. You know, I mean, it's not just a color issue. You know, this is an American thing. You know, this has nothing to do with color, but the fact that, you know, Barack is our first African American president is just incredible.
It really is. I think he was just so straight on when he said it's about, you know, coming together, and it comes, you know, it's not about race or religion or sexual preference. It's just about this country coming together, and this today was such a sign of that, which is amazing.
It was.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I actually still have a T-vote, and they got to watch it in school, which I was really worried about. And I was saying, you know, I especially my 16-year-old, I was like, I hope, I don't care what class you're in, they're going to let you watch this, because that would just be a crime if they didn't, you know, in school. But my 16-year-old got to watch it, and my 8-year-old got to watch it in his class also.
Oh my gosh! So, did you get to talk to them about how it felt for each of them?
He just was like, oh yeah, Barack Obama, he's the nicest guy in the whole wide world, and now he's our president, and his daughters are cute.
that's so cute.
That's what he got out of it. But, you know, he sat and watched it again with me, and he really just doesn't understand it, you know. But, you know, the bigger one understands a little bit more, and he watched it again with me, and he sat and he was doing some research. Oh, where did he go to college? And then he was, like, watching the Chief Justices come out. Where did he go to college? I bet he didn't go to Erie County Community College. I was like, doesn't matter where, you know, it's just like, doesn't matter where you go, buddy. You know, just you go and you make the initiative, and you can do great things. You know, and
And there's something so fascinating, and I think it's such a beautiful sign. I have a friend who watched the show today with his 6-year-old, and he said, you know, that the 6-year-old brought up a story that they had taught him in school about Martin Luther King, and how when he was a child he wasn't allowed to play with a white child, and my friend's son said, why, Daddy, why? Why did this happen? I don't understand. And the fact that your 8-year-old and a 6-year-old really can't even conceptualize, you know, the racial inequality. They don't have a sense of what that is. But, you know, when we were growing up, I mean,
it was a big deal.
We had that, yeah, and we still understood that at 6 or 8 because that existed. But the fact that they don't even get it is right. So amazing.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I mean, my son, I mean, if you look on my Facebook pages, you'll see a picture of him. He's very olive-toned, so you can't tell whether what race he is. Honestly, you can't. I mean, he could be anything from Italian to Hispanic, but we just moved up to Buffalo, New York, and it's a predominantly white area. So he's like the only little brown boy on the block, you know, and he goes into this classroom now coming from Florida where, you know, the domineering race in his school was Hispanic, you know, coming here to all these blonde hair, blue eyed kids. It was like a real culture shock for him. And he was like, wow. So it's a culture shock for them. So when they sat, he said the one thing that everybody kept saying to him all day was, while they were watching this, was, wow, Tyler, you look just like Barack. Tyler, you really look just like him. I said, and you should have said, well, you know what? I must be a pretty lucky guy.
Yeah,
I'm different.
Exactly, and Barack is absolutely adorable.
Yes. Yeah, so everybody kept telling him he looked like Barack today. And I said, well, you tell them tomorrow when you go to school that I'm a real lucky guy because, you know, I'm different. I'm not like everybody else.
And
he was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, it's a great day. Really, really is. So, Miss Tana, you're a busy girl. I fell in love with your story. Please tell us your story. You're from Iowa. You wanted to be an actress. You wrote a letter to a director, and boom.
Yeah.
It's like a typical Hollywood dream story, like your movie, Hollywood Dreams. So tell us about that.
Well, I think you know, I was out here for 3 years or 4 years hustling and, you know, waiting tables and living on ramen noodles and everything. And I was in a play at the time, and there was an actor who came to rehearsals and said, I just had the most amazing day of filming. I filmed with Henry Jaglom. And I said, who's Henry Jaglom? And he said, the most brilliant director, independent film director out there. And so, you know, being an advantageous actress, I said, how do I work for Henry Jaglom? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, he's a complete sucker for letters about how great he is. So if you write him a letter telling him how much you love his work and what an amazing director he is, you know, he'll cast you. So so I wrote him a 3-page letter, single space, you know, coming from college. I was good at, you know, just writing really long.
Right.
Somewhat intelligent papers. And so I took it up to his office, and he called me the very next day and started asking me all these questions about the movie. And one thing led to another, and I produced a play of his out here, and then he came to every performance of the play and asked me to star in his next film. And the little secret, the bad Iowa girl in me, didn't, I actually hadn't seen the film I had written him a letter about.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And now, and you know, I felt so terrible after he called me and grilled me about his films, and I watched every single one of his films, but I didn't tell him that I hadn't seen it for 3 years, so, you know, I did a little hustle on him, but you have to out here.
Yeah, you do.
You don't do it with malice aforethought or bad intentions. You do what you can to get ahead, and then you just keep working and you keep working. And somehow, you know, I was fortunate enough to land in the right place. And and so it's pretty cool.
That's like an amazing story. I mean, that is like a true Hollywood story. And you know, the young girl from Iowa wants to be an actress. But, of course, you know, you had to do your thing. What was the worst job you had to do before you got that break?
Oh, gosh. That's such a hard question. I did really – I worked at 17 different restaurants out here and got fired from a lot of them.
Wow.
I passed out. Oh, I did this you know, you can do these little promotional jobs where you make $75 for 5 hours, and I dressed up in this little tight, it looked basically like what's not saran wrap, but, you know, the silver stuff.
Tinfoil.
Yes, it looked like a tinfoil, little booty shorts and top, crop top, and I passed, and then these big space age platform silver boots, and passed out cigarettes in a bar, you know, passed out Pepsi samples in Kmart parking lot. I did so much just to make the next rent check, and
right.
And it was really interesting, but my parents were so supportive, and there were so many times I questioned what I was doing, especially
mm-hmm.
coming out here with 2 degrees, you know, and it's just like, wow, what am I getting myself into? But I stuck
right.
with it, and they said, keep going, so I did.
And that's fabulous, because honestly, I mean, if you don't have that support behind you and that encouragement, it does make you second-guess yourself, and some people give up on their dreams so quickly because they don't have that rally of support behind them. You know, so that's really great that they stuck behind you and pushed you forward.
Yeah, I think I would have been a lawyer a long, long time ago if they hadn't, for sure.
Well, you studied political science in college, didn't you?
Yeah. I double majored with honors in political science and theater.
Wow.
And I have to say, studying political science is almost more of a lesson in human nature and acting than theater is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, just setting the political behavior of countries and nations and history and politicians is really a lesson in the dynamic of individual behaviors, and it was fascinating.
Oh, that's great. So now what's coming up for you now? I mean, Hollywood Dreams is the first movie that I see here, and I haven't seen it, but I did see the trailer, and I can't wait to see it. Now, is that available to be rented, or it, can you buy it somewhere?
Yeah, it's on Netflix, and it's in Blockbuster. And
okay, because I'm gonna rent it definitely. I definitely want to see it.
Oh,
I watched the trailer.
I won't let you rent it. I'll send you a whole bunch of copies and.
Oh, wonderful! Because I could sit and watch those
too.
Definitely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's a great movie. I have to say the cast is absolutely incredible. Melissa Leo, who's been she started out in Henry's films when she was 18, and I don't know if a lot of people know who she is, but if you saw her, you'd know her. She's just been
okay.
an amazing actress. She was in 29 Grams, and she's you know, a big contender this year actually for the Oscars for Frozen River. And,
okay.
She started Henry brought her on to her first movie when she was 18, and she's incredible. She plays my aunt, who comes out from Iowa, and then David Provol is in it from The Sopranos. And Justin
yes, he's great. Mm-hmm.
David's so hilarious. And then we actually just wrapped a sequel to it because there were so many people that wanted to know more about my character is from Iowa. Her name's Martha
mm-hmm.
Chisick, and she comes out from Iowa looking to be famous. And so many people wanted to know what happens to her. So we just did a sequel with Noah Wiley was my co-star. Who's brilliant.
Oh, okay. From
ER. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was great. And we have another film coming out, Irene in Time, which is about fathers and daughters. It's coming out on Father's Day. And
oh, wonderful.
Yeah. It's pretty emotional. I don't want to say chick flick, but it's definitely like a four handkerchief film.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
It's about women and their fathers and how their father's relationships with them affects them and their choice of men, you know, as they grow up, and it's beautiful.
Oh, wow, that sounds fabulous. I always look for things like that, too. That's really funny because my dad and I, we have such a weird relationship, you know, and I will say that I probably based most of my relationships off of my father, you know, and his personality and his type and, you know, what I saw growing up and, you know, a lot was good, a lot was bad, you know, and then in the end, everybody's this big, happy family, and I'm single.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, you know. It's like, you know, they're happy as can be, but here I am, single. I'm like, yeah, okay. So I'm dying to see that one.
Interesting. It's this conglomeration of women. You know, Henry has this way of establishing a really fascinating narrative throughout his films, but also kind of weaving in a commentary of women and their experiences. You know, he's really
mm-hmm.
great with women's films and films about the industry. And there's so many women in this film who say, I married my father, I married, you know, or I had two divorces with men like my father, and then I chose somebody different, or, you know, it's just so many women have had that experience. And so I think it's a great movie, I think, or at least it, just the subject is fascinating.
Right. Now, what do you do on your off time? I see you're a big surfer.
Yeah, I am a big surfer. I think being landlocked all my life and then coming out here and being the ocean was like a kid. I felt like a kid in a candy store, and so I love surfing. I have 8 surfboards and go out almost every morning, and right now I'm actually involved with this great organization called Oceana. And they do a lot of work internationally to save the oceans. And I'm doing a surfathon with Sean Thompson, who is this amazing world champion surfer from the 70s. And he was in the documentary Breaking Down the Doors. So that's on www.projectsaveoursurf.com. It's going to be a great surfathon, and I just surf and do taekwondo and do play readings and audition, and just it's just constant movement and trying to keep afloat in a difficult industry.
Right. So now, what was after your first big movie, which would you say would be Hollywood Dreams?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the first big splurge thing that you bought yourself and got out of that ramen noodles era?
That's such a good question. I bought myself a leather Prada purse.
Such a girl.
I know, but, you know, it's such a big deal to spend that much money on a purse, and so I ended up leaving it in my closet for a year, you know.
Oh my god!
Scared that anything's gonna, you know, it's like 5 months of rent in one purse. Well, I mean, not that much, but
right.
You're so scared that you're gonna do something to it. So I just carried around a different, like, cheap purse from Target.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but that's a good question. I love it.
That's great. Oh my gosh, who was your now that you're out there, and who would you say your biggest celebrity friend is?
That's another good question. I've met a lot of interesting people through Henry, but I don't know. It's always so tricky. Who do you call your friends and who do you not
call
your friends? Right, because especially being like Iowa girl next door, everybody becomes your best friend right away.
Right.
I love everybody, you know, that sort of thing. But probably, Dennis Hopper, I think, is amazing. But I don't know if I'd call him my friend. But Noah Wiley, I would say, probably is one of
So Noah's the kind of guy that you could just pick up the phone and call and say, hey, what are you doing? I'm bored. Let's go
yeah.
and have a drink.
Yeah,
that kind
yeah.
of friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where Dennis is more of a, oh, hi, how you doing? See you at that next cocktail party kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right, cool. Those are not bad people to be associated with, my dear.
Well, to be honest with you, you're so busy. I'm so busy out here. The main people who I have stayed close with are my, you know, my girls from Iowa. A lot of my friends are
that's good.
In Iowa. Yeah, and we get together and we have girls weekend, and I have another best friend in Chicago who I went to college with. But you find that those friendships are the ones that last.
That last.
People who really know you and don't judge you, and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you got to stay true to where you came from, otherwise it just doesn't work, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so comforting to just have those people who just call you on all of your BS and just really love you.
Yeah, be like, hey, you are from Iowa, honey. Don't try to pull that Hollywood trip with me. Not working. Don't work with me. Take it back a notch. I agree. I totally agree with you. Those are the best people to be around.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, truthfully, from what I see, even just in whether it's in tabloid press TV or in magazines, I bet you any amount of money, half of these stars that have all these issues and problems would be so much better off if they at least kept two friends from their own hometown that they grew up with in their life full
time.
That's
really good theory. That's a really good theory. I think there's a lot of truth in that, and I never thought about that.
I mean, if you think about it, look at people like, I'll just use, for example, like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. They grew up together. They made a start together. They're very true to their hometown. You know, they go back and forth to Boston all the time, and from what I see, they're very gracious with their fans, and, you know, they know when to keep things private because, I mean, you know, the two of them live high-profile lives with their women and stuff like that, you know, who's doing this one and that one. But
mm-hmm.
as far as being down-to-earth, and I think the two of them keep each other in that grounded level, but they stay true to where they came from. You know, I mean, you always hear of them being back in Boston and giving back to their communities where they grew up. Ben Affleck's mom, I believe, still lives in the same exact neighborhood where he grew up in, that kind of thing. Those are the things that keep Hollywood people a little bit closer to the earth, I think.
Oh, I completely agree with that. I actually started a film festival in my hometown, which is Mason City. It's the town from The Music Man, you know, River. It was originally River
mm-hmm.
City, and Meredith Wilson came from there. But after going to a lot of film festivals with Hollywood Dreams and just seeing what film festivals brought to the community, I started an Iowa independent film festival with another gentleman who's been amazing in Mason City. And this is going to be our third year. And just to be able to go back there and bring filmmakers out there and set up all the Q&As and get people involved and get the students involved with filming
mm-hmm.
movies, you know, and it's so inspiring. And it really, you never want to forget. That community gave me all the artistic freedom and encouragement that I brought out here. And so to go back.
Right.
To go back and be able to be at home is just that's incredible, and it just keeps reminding you over and over and over where you came from and,
exactly.
and what your values are and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, let's be realistic. Hollywood is Hollywood, but I'd say at least 95% of Hollywood came from somewhere else.
From Iowa.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
You know,
totally.
Middle America.
Yeah,
you know, they're
all
from
transplant.
Somewhere else, you know. So it's not like everybody's born and bred in Hollywood, California. You know, people come from, and a lot of it is Middle America, you know, and the places that people would never even imagine is on a map. You know, if they did some research, I bet you'd find somebody from Bismarck, you know, or from whatever, you know, Boise,
yeah.
Idaho, somewhere.
Yeah.
You definitely find it in their background as much as some people might want to hide it. It's there.
I know. And the only thing, I think when I first came out here, I was embarrassed by that because I felt I wasn't in the know and I,
mm-hmm.
you know, I felt so, like, so podunk, small town girl, you know, and then after a while, I just realized, hey, the one thing that I can do out here is you can claim yourself. You can claim who
right.
you are. You can claim where you're from. You can mm-hmm. claim, you know, your identity. And so I quit hiding it, and I was like, yeah, I'm from Iowa. You know, I'd
mm-hmm.
rather be fishing for bass and eating cheddar cheese with my dad, you know. And,
yeah.
and just being able
yeah.
to share that and say that, every time you say it really solidifies who you are, I think. And,
right.
But for so long, I tried to pretend like I was from here and I knew how to drive in terrible traffic.
That's so funny. Oh my
yeah.
gosh. You know, I mean, it's somebody once told me this a long, long time ago. It's like going back to. I mean, I'm from New York, so I never had to be embarrassed of where I came from. You know, people would come and tell me, oh yeah, I come from, you know, Indiana. And when I was a teenager, and I was like, really? I was like, well, you could tell people you live here. You know, because coming from New York was the cool thing to do.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, but when I had moved down to Florida, and I was driving this, I went from driving a Camaro, a T T-top Camaro to this really, really hunky, junky, rusty piece of garbage, and I was so embarrassed to be driving this car. I mean, never mind that it got me from A to B, but I mean, like, literally, I would put a hat on and sunglasses and know that ain't me, and, you know, and I would go, you know, I was in college. I would park it clear across the parking lot, across into the next building's parking lot, just so my friends didn't see me get out of this car. And this one guy said to me, he said, you know what? He's like, that's your car. He said, and you have to look at it from this. He said, there are people who walk to everywhere they go. He said, they take buses. He said, it gets you from point A to point B, and you go, you know, like it getting you to school. He said, eventually you'll be able to get that nicer car. He said, so that's how you have to look at it. He said, just take care of what you got. He said, and then it can be the best thing in the world. And I just started thinking of it like that. Take care of what you got, regardless how shitty it is. And then I wasn't so embarrassed, you know. Somebody said something to me, oh, Joanne, you're driving that big orange rusty thing. I said, well, you know what? I'm driving. You're on the bus. What? Did you say something? And then it became a joke, and then it was just like, yeah, you want to ride now, though, right? That big orange piece of garbage. Now you want to ride. Okay, I'll ride you to the bus stop. Sure. You know, then it became something like that. So, you know, bottom line is take care of what you got, you know, and be proud of who you are. Simple as that.
Yeah,
you know?
I think my dad made sure I always took care of my cars, and in Iowa, over, you know, during Father's Day, the big father-daughter or the father-kids thing would be that we'd go out and we'd detail our cars with our dad. And
mm-hmm.
when I moved out here, I brought my Honda, broke down in
mm-hmm.
Denver, got the parts replaced, and kept driving. And, you know, my dad always said, keep your car clean, because it doesn't matter what kind of a car you have. You're
right.
going to get a better car, but if you don't wash it now, you're never going to wash it. So
well,
I've
I
took care of it, like, throughout the years, and now I have, you know, a fairly decent car, and I still get it detailed.
You know, but the thing is, too, is that my cars were always nice and clean. The fact that it was so friggin' ugly, I couldn't stand it, you know. That was the thing, you know. So, oh, anyway, I don't know. All right, well, we have a couple callers. You want to take a phone call?
Yeah.
Hold on. Hi, area code 712. You're on the phone with Tana Frederick. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Katie.
Hi, Katie. Say hi to Tana.
Hi, Tana. How are you?
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm doing good.
This is actually, speaking of girlfriends, this is my best friend from Iowa, Katie Shriver.
Oh, cute as that, that she's listening and she called in. Oh.
I am listening. It's so fun.
That's so
cool.
When
I'm talking about the girls who call me on my stuff, this is one of the biggest ones.
There you go. So you're the girl that keeps her on her feet.
That is exactly right, and I just want you guys to know that it's about 5 degrees above zero here in Iowa, so I want you guys to appreciate how
But honey,
nice
I'm in Buffalo, so you know what? It's only 9 degrees here, so that's okay.
Well, yeah, but that's 4 degrees warmer than it is in Iowa, so you feel my pain, so that's good.
I do. Oh God!
So
I do have a
question.
Yes.
Okay.
Do.
I have a question for Tana. I would like to know what your favorite scene is in Irene and Time, and why.
Oh, that's a good question. what's my favorite scene?
There are so many to pick from. So.
I know. She's seen Irene in Time because I previewed it there at the Iowa Film Festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she saw the movie last April.
Lucky. Go ahead.
I think that it's probably the one where I can't tell the final scene. Okay. Besides
no,
the final
don't tell
scene,
me that because I didn't see it.
I just almost gave it away. I think that it'd probably be the scene with remember that jerky guy, and I was kind of was feeding me lines, and I just said, "What are you doing? Why are you feeding me lines?" And it was much more clever than that. I'm not doing a good job of translating, but that was my favorite scene because it was kind of the first chance that I got to be kind of a bitchy girl in one of the movies instead of nice Iowa girl.
Oh,
exactly.
What? A bitchy girl from Iowa.
Yeah, it was, and she did awesome. Like, and she's not bitchy at all. So it was just a very good demonstration of her acting ability. So.
Oh, my. I can't wait to see it. That's great. I'm so glad you called in. That's really cool.
I know. I'm so glad I got through. I can't believe I did. And this is just great. And
that's
I just
so
want
to
say.
She was too scared to call. Don't think I normally. Joanne, don't think I normally, like, have Katie call into every show.
Oh, my
this
God.
Is the first
okay.
time.
It's just like, you know, did you ever see the movie Soap Dish?
Yeah,
with
I love
Sally
that movie.
Where Sally Field goes, you know, plays, you know, a faux Erica Kane, if you will, you know, and she's got to go out to the mall in New Jersey just to get her rocks off, you know, to feel important again. So you have your friends pull you from Iowa.
I called the number and I was like, oh, is this the only way I can listen to it? Because I couldn't get it up on my computer, and so I was listening to you guys, and then I was also in the caller, so I was really excited
That's
about
cute,
it.
Though.
So
cute, though. No, I think it's great. You know what? Truthfully, I have some actors that call in that do this, you know, because I do a lot of interviews with soap stars, and there was a couple of them, like if you ever watched, like, All My Children, the big Tad and Dixie era, Katie McLean, she's a fabulous actress, and she called in, and she's been off the show for quite some time. And then there's another actor, Matt Borlenghi, who used to be on the show 15 years ago, and he heard she was coming on the show, so he called in and played, like, a little joke on her. So it's really cute. I love when you guys do that. I think it's fabulous.
She's never called. I've done quite a number of interviews, and
This is my first time, if you guys can't tell.
That's so cute, though. No,
anyways, well, I'll let you guys move on to somebody else. But anyways, I'll try to get it up on my computer so I can finish listening to the rest of the interview.
But you can actually stay on hold if you want. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I'll just put you on hold, and you can listen. I don't know why it wouldn't be coming up. Sometimes they tell you with Blog Talk, you have to clear your cookies in order to hear it sometimes. I don't know. They just revamped the whole site within the at the beginning of the year. So they've got a little bit of bugs to work out. So, but you can definitely listen in on the phone,
I'll
okay?
I'll just chill on hold then, guys.
Right,
you go ahead.
That's my girl.
There you go.
All right.
Iowa girls. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. This next caller is from Chicago. This is Rita.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hey, Rita, say hi to Tana.
Hi, Tana.
Hi, Rita.
So
how are you?
How am I? Well,
yeah.
I'm sitting here doing what everybody else is doing.
Are you still watching the presidential inauguration?
No,
I mean, I know it's not. Recording
it
aftermath.
In two rooms. I'm recording it in two rooms, two different channels.
What, the inauguration?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I actually bought a television yesterday and a VCR just special for today.
You did?
That's incredible.
Yes, I did.
Wow. That's really great, Rita.
Yeah,
I got a TV for $3.50. No, I got a VCR for $3.50 and a TV for $7.50.
Get out of here. Where'd you go shopping?
I know, right?
It actually works better than the VCR that has under warranty some of these that you, well, where do you think?
So was that specifically because of the inauguration?
Yes, yes. Actually, I'm recording it on both TVs. I actually bought it specifically to tape it for a friend.
Oh.
And I'm going all out. I'm not taking any chances. February 16th. I can't afford to do this, but I'm too hooked not to. I'm going to go on an $8.99 a month plan because I can't take any chances. This digital converter box, it goes out. I just got it to work, but it goes out a lot.
Oh, so you're going to upgrade to cable, in other words.
Well, yeah, basic, but I'll still
right.
be able to. I don't think I want to risk being without my Channel 7.
You know, that,
so
that's like a big
thing. What channel did you TiVo out of curiosity? Because he was on all channels.
Me, I TiVo'd it on ABC.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah,
back and forth between CNN and MSNBC because it's so interesting to watch the different, you know. The, their, you know, a little bit right, more on the right side, on and just to hear their commentaries was interesting on both the channels.
Right.
Channel 11 tonight and 2, so I'm seeing other views because I'm learning my digital is finally working. It wasn't working before until yesterday, so I think that's kind of an amazing.
Are you you're in Chicago?
Well, I'm actually three blocks north of Chicago. I'm I live in the town where Charlton Heston went to school.
Which town is that?
Evanston.
Oh, okay. I was just out. I was out there for the Naperville Film Festival.
Oh.
Yeah, they had their first film festival this year, and I have to say, it's just I love Chicago, and all the suburbs are so much fun to visit. I mean, you can't be treated better than in the suburb of Chicago.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, I don't think. White is I'm just four blocks away, so I don't have to, you know. But I think more bigger things happen right in the heart of Chicago. I know that
probably.
They had the super soul.
But you can always find something to do somewhere. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some great.
Fun is what you make it, Rita.
So how was your yesterday?
My yesterday was a big day too. Everything was fine. Kids were up from school, and, you know, a lot of people did community service. It was a nice day.
Well, I think this is that decade. You mentioned something. This is that decade because Sidney Poitier won that greatest, that achievement, lifetime achievement thing, and that same Oscars that Denzel Washington won Best Oscar, and Halle Berry was the first African-American to win, a female to win an Oscar, and now Barack Obama, the first African. I think it's that decade. I just think it all happened in the 2000 decade.
Well, it's a wonderful thing, huh?
Yeah. I think you're right. It's going to be so interesting to see what happens, what transpires over the next year.
Tana, you know what? In your earlier days, you did some extra work for Days of Our Lives, didn't you?
Yeah.
anything worthwhile talking about, or just you know? Oh, here, stand here, girl, and hold the bar.
Yeah.
For school or
it was
something.
Basically that, but you know. My mom was like, you, Rita, and I did. They gave you, it was pretty good money because it's, I think it was something like $110 every time you do extra work on Days of Our Lives.
Uh-huh.
And so you go on there over and over and over, and you just stand there and pretend like you're drinking coffee or, you know, walking through the little plaza or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom taped every episode of Days of Our Lives that I was an extra on, and then she'd show them
when
I came home at Christmas. And she'd show, like, the back of my head or, you know, just in my hair. But everybody would be so, all my relatives would be excited and say, we saw you. You were on Days of Our Lives.
Oh, God, that's so funny. Would you, I mean, even though you're into films now and stuff, would you consider doing a soap?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, Andrea Marcovici, she was on All My Children, I think, for quite a while, and she got her start. She plays in Irene in Time. She plays a character in there. I don't want to give anything away, but she started in soaps, and she has the most interesting experience from you know being in soap operas because people feel so close to you, and she'd go to Disneyland or something, and people would be excited to see her and say,
super
"Oh,
soap
I saw your weddings."
Weekends.
Yeah, it'd be a really interesting way to bond with people because I think, you know, you're seeing everything. People are seeing everything that she goes through her divorces and, you know, as a character.
Right.
And that would be great.
You know, soap fans are unlike any other fans. You know, it's just like Super Soap Weekend is what you're talking about, where they go to Orlando. every year. They gather 30 actors from all three ABC soaps, and they bring them to Disneyland, and the fans are just like have free access, you know. And it's like you do the stand-in lines, meet and greets. You get to act out scenes with them. It's a very very personal situation with them, you know. It's like what did they say? Soap fans is the second largest fan base next to NASCAR.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not surprised by that, but. All the same, it's that I didn't know. I mean, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going on a cruise in March that's leaving out of California. It's called Rock the Soap Cruise, and it's done. It's being sponsored by SoapNet and hosted by Bob Guinea. If you don't know who Bob Guinea, got his start on TV as one of the Bachelors. Bachelor Bob, and he's from Michigan, and
he had a
band.
One of the girls from
All My Children.
All
My Children, Rebecca Budig. Yeah.
Right.
So I've been helping him promote that. So I'm going on the cruise with them, and it's going to be a lot of people from Days of Our Lives and General Hospital and One Life to Live, All My Children, Another World or whatever it is. I'm not familiar with CBS Soaps. That's bad. But
fun.
Young and the Restless and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's like a three-day it's a fan cruise, though. You know, they invite all the fans. I mean, you obviously have to pay for it, but it's going to be like a mix and mingle kind of a thing, you know. So Cameron Matheson is actually hosting one on Thursday. They leave out of Fort Lauderdale or Miami to the Caribbean for a couple of days. So, yeah, it's definitely a fabulous thing to get involved with when you're so
And they're so star. Nice. People, every time I went onto the set, everybody was so nice. There's something about
mm-hmm.
people who work sort of 9 to 5 in soaps. They're really down to earth and really sweet. And
yeah, they are. They're fabulous people to be around. I have to say, since I started doing this show, I mean, at least 90% of my guests have been soap stars. I just recently started branching out into acting, you know, mainstream acting, independent acting, and musicians and stuff like that. But they're just like, you know, the sweetest people.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. God, this 45 minutes went by so fast. It's over already. We got 2 minutes left. Listen, so you've got I Mean in Time is coming out on Father's Day. Go to Blockbuster and rent Hollywood Dreams. I mean, I want you guys to see, and there are going to be links up on the website, stardishradio.com, on where to find all this stuff. I'll have everything posted by tomorrow. Tana, I can't tell you, I'm so glad that I got to do this with you.
Me too. Thanks for having such a neat show. I really had a really good time, and I thanks for having such a nice, warm, supportive place. To come on and chat.
Absolutely, that's what this is. You know, it's just like get to know you on a whole nother level. You know,
yeah.
No formalities, no nothing. It's you know, just like I don't know, almost like coffee talk. You know.
I know. I see. I do with your little New York hint of the coffee.
Yeah, there you go.
You have a very cute accent.
Thank you. But yeah, I'm really glad that we got to do this. And keep me updated on Facebook or whatever. What's going on? And definitely come back when Irene in Time is ready to come out, and definitely want to see those other movies.
I will send you Hollywood Dreams.
Oh, okay. I'll Facebook you my address and stuff. But listen, before I let you go, will you do a little promo for the show? Hi, this is Tana Frederick on Stardish Radio.
Of course.
Okay, you start it whenever you're ready. I'm already recording.
Okay. Hi, this is Tana Frederick, and I'm on Stardish Radio, one of the best programs on air.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so
much,
darling.
Was that too
darling.
Over the top?
No, it's perfect. I love it like that. Are you kidding me? You got to hear some of these ones that I have from different people, but it's perfect, perfect, perfect. So definitely, everybody, keep your eye out for Irene in Time coming out on Father's Day, but I will definitely post everything on stardishradio.com by tomorrow, and don't forget to tune in on Thursday, the 22nd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Bobby Eakes from All My Children, Kathy DePiva from One Life to Live, Kathy Breyer from One Life to Live, the self-proclaimed Divas in daytime, they have their own singing group, and they will be making a tour. And they will also be on Rock the Soap, and they're going to be coming on the show on Thursday. Ted McGinley next week, and actress Barbara Allen Woods from One Tree Hill also. So until then, guys, this is Joanne signing off with Tana Frederick. Have a great, great night. Thanks,
Thanks
Tana.
Thanks so much, Joanne.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Jason Thompson, and you are listening to Stardish Radio. Keep listening.
Hi, this is John J. York, Max Torpio from General Hospital, and you are listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.